Alrighty, guys, welcome back to another episode of the All Aces Podcast. And today, just like we do every week, we have an ace of an industry today. Super huge guest today, and it's very important for two reasons. I would say among the list Dan's going to go into right now, but two reasons. Because number one, this is probably the youngest guest we've ever had on the show. But the craziest part about it is, although she's young, her list of accomplishments are through the roof, man. Let them know why, Dan.
So look, we got a long list of accomplishments here for Alyssa Zamorano. But one of the biggest ones I would say is that she's a 7-time national champion in boxing. So welcome to the show, Alyssa.
Thank you.
Man, so, you know, it's really cool. I think, first of all, it's really cool because we're right now in Delray, right in the backyard of the valley. And, you know, it's always extra special for us whenever we get to bring in somebody that's from the valley that's doing big things. Because we know that many other people like yourself, many other girls out there like yourself, you know, sometimes we have to look out to like the LA area, San Diego, up north to see people that inspire us. So it's really cool whenever we have people here that are from the valley doing big things, because you get to inspire the people that are right here in your backyard in the valley. So for us, it's always super cool to have people like that on the show. So we're super excited. And
shout out to the gym too. If you guys can see behind us, like the gym is like super hardcore. Like it makes me want to train. We didn't come with our training mitts, but we did. We want to train here. So we want to start off, Alyssa, with obviously people see right now 7-time national champion, all the stuff you guys got going on. You also have the Junior Olympic qualifier coming up pretty soon as well. But we want to take it back to the very beginning, where how Alyssa got started boxing. So how did you get started boxing, and what made you want to get into it?
Well, it started off with my mom. Like, she got me into it. Like, she was a fan. Like, my whole family was kind of like a whole fan. Like, if there was like Canelo or like anyone fighting, okay, we'd have like barbecues yeah, or something. So we're always fans. And I mean, yeah, my mom got me into it. And like, my dad, he's the one that like pushed me. Like, after, like, I really, like, I first started like, I didn't really like it. And I came back, and that's like when I started like realizing like, this is my sport.
This is it. How old were we when you first started? And then how old were you when you first came back?
I was 9. When I first started, and I came back at 10.
Nice. There.
Yeah.
That's pretty big, though. Like, people watching at home, they got to put in perspective. You're 9 years old. You're taking some shots. Like, yeah. That takes a lot to keep coming back. I know for me, whenever I think I tried MMA, like, once, and I was there for a week, took a lot of shots, and then I was like, nah, I don't want to go back. So yeah. What made you want to keep coming back?
I mean, I don't know. I think it's just, like, the community and meeting new people, like, around the state, like, Rhode Island, New York, and like everywhere. So it's like, it's really fun meeting like new friends and just everything.
So okay, let me ask you this too, because I mean, how old are you right now?
16. I'm turning 17 in June.
She's turning 17, so youngest guest ever. But you started at 10, and you're a 7-time national champion, so you've almost sounds like you've had a winning career since you stepped on the
kinda
scene then.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so did you guys find out pretty quickly that you were like, hey, you know what? Shoot, I'm pretty good at this stuff. Like, I think I'm just gonna keep going. When did you have that moment as a little kid?
Yeah, when I first won my first national silver gloves, I was like about 11, 12, and that's when I was like, whoa, like,
that's a big deal.
Yeah,
that's huge.
Crazy.
So from there, what happened? You were just like, okay, I mean, you know, I really want to, because now, I mean, you're super deep. You know, just came off a really big tournament in Albuquerque, and you're en route to, you know, be like Ant was saying, competing in the Junior Olympics. So you win your first tournament, you get silver gloves. What is the conversation at home like with your dad, with yourself? Like, are you thinking like, shoot, I'm going to make this a career? Are you still kind of like thinking about going back and forth? How are you feeling after that big first win? Really, your first year back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, definitely when you go back, it's like, you got to like now that you like won, like, you got to work harder, because they're going to be coming after you,
yeah,
to like get your number one spot. So it's like, you just got to keep pushing yourself.
Yeah. And I mean, shoot, you did. You won 6 times in a row after that.
And I know, on the same topic of training, coolest part about it too, we talked to your dad and your uncle today too. Yeah. What does it mean to have your dad and your uncle training? I mean,
it's cool. It's pretty good. Yeah, like, I'm with my dad every day, so it's like he's different from at home, like being a dad and like a coach at the gym.
Does he make you call him? Are you allowed to call him dad inside the gym or no?
Yeah, I
really
call him coach, though.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I ask because sometimes, like, my dad, he would be like, when we're at practice, I'm your fucking dad, I'm your coach. So, you know, call me coach.
Yeah.
That's cool. Man, do you guys ever bump heads a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, like, there's those days, you like, it's just not, like, 100%. And, you mean, you just got to push through it.
Yeah.
That's big, though, because obviously, like, I feel like as just outside of the boxing ring, just naturally, like, a a daughter and dad or a child and dad, naturally you want to think you're right, right? I mean, I know when I was younger, I always thought I was like right. And my dad's probably watching this. He's probably like, yeah, he always thought he was right. And I'm sure, you know, yeah. But separating how you guys did, not only separating enough where like you guys got through it, but separating enough where you guys have had so much success year after year. What does that mean to you? I mean, to like, and what was the key factor to that success? Like separating the dad, coach, putting all that together.
I mean, it's like, at first it was like, oh, like he's annoying and like, I'm always with him and like this and that. But I mean, like right now it's like, I'm really like happy for him to like be by my side and like that he's really close. Like it would be different. Like if it was like a random coach and like, oh, like I don't really know much about you, but it's really good. Like for him being on my side.
It's probably a lot more fun winning with your family than just with like random. Having your dad right there on the corner than, you know, on the bleachers watching.
Yeah,
But what about your mom? How does she feel about all this?
She's a mom, so, like, of course she gets, like, oh, no. She gets really nervous, like, watching the videos and, like, watching me live in, like, national tournaments. She gets really scared. She's very proud of me, though.
I can only imagine as a mom watching your daughter just either, you know, if she's not dishing it out with her head, you know, getting knocked out. Yeah, that's scary. Man. So, now you've had all this success, right? You've been training hard here, really cool gym here in Delray. And now you're gearing up to prepare for the Junior Olympics, right? Now, I know that you moved up a weight division, right? A weight class. So what weight class were you before?
I was 114.
Can you go into that a little bit about the choice of moving up? Because there was a few things, right, that played a factor into you kind of stepping up into the next class, right? What were those factors?
Yeah, so I was 114 for about like 3 years. And I had competition like here and there. And, like, I kind of just, like I beat them. Like, they were really good girls, but, like, I wanted it more, and, like, I got them then. So this tournament 2 weeks ago in Albuquerque, there was no girls in 114. Mm. So I was like, you know, I think it's, like, about time to move up and wait, like, 119. And, like, there were like, good girls. Like, they were
That's a big decision
good.
To move up, I mean.
Yeah, it was.
Hey, that's a big deal. So basically for the audience, if they didn't catch it, she kind of cleaned house at 114, right? Cleaned house at 114. There's nobody left. So now we're on to the next one at 119.
Yeah.
Man, that's exciting. And obviously that's a big deal too, right? If they're not people that are not familiar with like, you know, like combat sports or boxing or, you know, fighting in general, moving up weight class is a big deal, right? Because the body type, the type of girls you're facing, it's a lot different than the girls you were facing at 114.
Yeah,
I mean, at home, people are like,
it's a big difference.
It is, you know, people are like, oh shoot, it's only 5 pounds. But in the boxing ring, in the boxing world, those 5 pounds, it's like, it's night and day, you know? So I know that you faced a lot different type of opponents this time around. How do you adjust to that? Because obviously it was kind of like you went up and you're like, okay, cool, 114 no more. We're going to 119. How did you adjust to that? Like, how did you mentally prepare for that? Were you nervous?
I was nervous. Yeah. Like for that being my first time moving up weight. And I knew I had to be like prepared for them. Like the heavier hits, the speed, and just like them in general. So like I did my research and everything about the girls, and like a lot of them, since I'm really tall, like most of them are really short. So like I know they're gonna be trying to coming in with me, and so I gotta like keep my distance and like not let them come in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's good. I mean, shoot. What about going forward now? So can people expect to watch you at 119 until you clean house? Do you think you'll ever
probably for a while? Yeah. I'll be there probably for like about 3 years. Yeah,
it's almost like you're kind of like the Canelo of women's boxing, right? Like upcoming, right? Like younger version of Canelo. People like Canelo, you put it in perspective like that, right? Canelo, whenever he went up in weight class, it wasn't because he wanted to just eat more and gain more weight, right? It was because he cleaned house in his division and went up. And you're kind of doing the same exact thing. So that's super cool.
it's really exciting. What about those moments? Because obviously at the bigger tournaments, there's a little bit more of an audience. There's definitely more people in the crowd. Obviously higher skilled people. How did you manage that? Were you ever nervous? Like, do you still get nervous when you step into the ring with an opponent?
Yeah, I still get nervous here and there. But, like, I already know how, like, what to expect and, like, everything. Like, so I kind of, like, maintain it. And, like, I just got to take a deep breath and I'll be good.
And boxing's so unique in that same sense, right, where it's – we talked about it before where it's, like a peak performance sport. You know what I mean? Where it's, like, you train 3 months, 4 months, 6 months sometimes for one fight, right? Like, one night, one fight, one tournament, one championship, and leads up to that, right? So what goes through your mind whenever you're walking to – I mean, nationals, obviously nationals 7 times. It's probably another day at the office for you, right? But like whenever you're in nationals, you're under the bright lights, you have people watching you, it's televised. Like, what goes through your head?
I mean, I just like everyone's watching from like my town. So it's like, I want to do good for them. Like, I want to make them proud.
So it motivates you. Like, it does. Yeah. For you, the lights coming on, like, that kind of pumps you up a little bit more.
Yeah, it does.
Man. Because, in perspective, like he was saying, for me, boxing, too, the thing about the sport is, like, I grew up playing, like, a lot of football, soccer, like, team sports. So even, like, if you watch film, like, you kind of hide a little bit, you know, because there's a lot more people going on. But in boxing, it's, like, it's just you and the other person in the ring. You know, there is no – you can't really take a playoff. You know, a playoff, you might end up, you know, knocked out on the on the canvas. So it is really interesting because I feel like, to me at least, like, as an athlete, I feel like there's, like, a little bit more pressure when it's just you, you know, and then everybody's kind of watching you. Do you have, like, any rituals, like game prep or fight, you know, fight night rituals where you get into, like, music or?
Oh, yeah. At first, I feel like you got to, like, get a good meal, like, eat a good meal, get good sleep, because you got to wake up really early for weigh-ins. So, like, I get a good breakfast, I take a nap. And yeah, I do my hair. So like when I'm doing my hair, I listen to music.
You do your hair before you go in the ring?
Yeah.
Oh, dang. Okay.
I put it in braids.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. So that itself is kind of like prep, like preparing, right? Like it's part of like your preparing ritual. That's pretty cool. That's interesting.
Like a certain song you listen to, like pump yourself up a little bit?
I kind of listen to everything.
Okay. Yeah. What's your go-to? You have like a playlist or something?
I like Drake.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah. Wait, for fight day, for tournament day, do you play like the little bit more upbeat Drake, or on the emotional
more,
side
more
of Drake?
Upbeat.
Yeah. Like you know, like Marvin's Room Drake.
No, Marvin's Room.
That's sick. So obviously people watch it well, and we've done people look at boxing in general, right? And they don't really look at it as more of like it's an old sport, right? Where there's a lot of older athletes in there, but you're still in high school right now, right?
Yes.
So what do your friends say whenever you go back to school and you're like in third, fourth period, right? You're like wearing around your medals and your championship belts. Like what do they say?
I mean they kinda know. They're all my friends know, and they're like they're really happy for me. They're like, oh my god, Alyssa, you won. Like we're so happy. So like when I go back to school though, when I went back for like the tournament from last week, I was like, oh my god, like, and all my friends like, congratulations, Alyssa, like, we were watching, you did so good.
Yeah, that's
like,
awesome.
Yeah, they're really happy though.
Do the people in the PA ever announce it, like the good morning announcement? Do they ever like shout you out in the morning?
Not really.
Oh,
no.
Oh yeah,
no.
They gotta shout.
We gotta talk to them. Yeah. Where's this going?
We gotta pull some shit. National champ. What high school do you go to?
Yeah.
Which high school do you go to?
Oh, I go to Singer High.
Singer High.
Yeah, all right, Singer Matt. High.
Come on, man.
Pull some strings over here.
We're going to pull the Apache strings over here. Man, that's so cool. Like, are people recognizing you more and more now?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Like, if you go out to the store or something, like, hey, Alyssa.
Yeah. Like, oh, like, I know you.
That's so cool. That is really cool.
And I'm sure a lot of notoriety is going to keep coming, right? We've talked about before, this is probably the first of many podcasts you're going to be doing soon, you know? But on that same note, obviously, you grew up doing boxing, your mother was a big motivation for you. But besides family, was there any other boxers you watched growing up that were like really motivating that maybe you model your game after or take little tips from?
Yeah, so I feel like for my family, like they watch a lot of like Canelo and like Triple G. So I feel like they were like the ones that like motivated me. Yeah.
What about like in the women's boxing today? So you look at the women's boxing landscape. Is there any women's boxers that you look at and you're like, you know, you like what they're doing? You model their game after a little bit?
Yeah, I like the Serrano sisters.
Oh, okay.
Them, yeah.
Nice.
Well, you know, on that topic of the women's boxing, you know, it's I feel like it's coming up a lot, right? The sport's coming up a lot.
Yeah, a lot.
But, you know, right now we're at the gym right now. We heard stories about, like, the training, right? Sometimes it's hard to find a sparring partner. So, you know, there's other solutions you guys have found. What's some of that? What's some of the training that you have kind of had to adjust? Because obviously it's hard to get, like, you know, game time or fight night kind of reps in when you don't have a lot of girls that are at your level, you know, around the area. So what are some of the things that you guys have done to adjust for that?
Since there's like not a lot of girls here in like Central Valley, like I kind of just got to spar like the boys like around my weight, so like they can't be heavier than me or anything like that. So like they know like when to work and like yeah, just something.
That's
like
crazy
that.
Though, like seven-time national champion sparring the boys and giving them a 1-2 a little bit, like
yeah.
That's almost some of the secret sauce, you know, because I'm sure like other bigger cities where there's a lot of girls boxing, they probably don't get the chance. Like they don't, I mean, I don't want to say they don't get the chance to, but they're not forced to kind of train with boys, you know, because do you think there's like a speed difference?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like the boys, like they hit heavier, like they hit harder. I mean,
yeah,
they hit harder, like they're faster and like they're really different compared to girls.
But I mean, that's probably turned out to be like an advantage, you know, if anything, because you're used to all that. And then you go to the girls and you're like, all right, this is like
nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Do you ever Have you ever had like a story where like have you ever seen some of the boys kind of get a little bit embarrassed after you beat them up a little bit?
Oh my gosh, yes.
I was wanting to ask this too.
like let's say I be sparring a boy and like I get him like a clean shot and they'll get kind of mad and like they start like pounding on me.
Oh, they try to get your back.
Yeah, they would.
Man, so next up, what do you have coming up next? Outside of, because I know we have the big tournament, right?
Junior Olympics, yeah, that one's coming up.
Yeah, so that one you're going to go back 119?
Yeah.
Do you have any opponents that you know are going to be there that you're kind of looking forward to getting in the ring with?
For right now, for like Central Valley, not that I know of. 119, yeah. There's like not like a lot of girls at all.
Do you have any rivalries? Like with the, is there any other girls who are like, oh, I can't wait till I get in the ring with that girl?
No, I feel like we're all friends.
Really?
Yeah, we're all friends right here. Like we'd be sparring though.
Yeah.
And like after like, and the ring is different. Like, oh, we got to get him.
It's
like,
game time,
you know,
yeah.
But after the ring, we're like, oh, like do we just be talking? Yeah, like friends. Yeah.
What about in the tournaments? You don't have like another girl where you kind of like she's your rival throughout years? Have you made like any like, I don't want to say like enemies, but maybe like frenemies or something?
Like the tournament I came from, or the one like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like we were friends. The second girl, we were friends and stuff, and like this and that, like. But it's because she beat me twice. So, like after that, we're like, oh, we're still friends. Like, no matter what happens.
In the back of your head, you're like, we're not friends at all.
Yeah, no, but, like, so the thing is, like, when I beat her, like, this time, her dad got, like, kind of, like, oh,
salty?
Mad. Like, he was, like, mad this time.
Shoot.
And, like, they kind of, like, just betray us. And, like,
really?
Oh, like, they were mad. Yeah.
She unfollowed you from Instagram?
Like, yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How much goes into that? Like, whenever you're going to these tournaments, how much have you seen it's, like, people – pretend to be your friends or maybe pretend to be your friends in the beginning, then once you get in the ring, like hit you on the uppercut right away and you're like, oh, we're not friends. Like I gotta turn it on. Has it ever happened to you?
Not really, no. A lot of the girls are really nice over there.
Really? I feel like that's hard. Like I don't know, I feel like that's hard for me. I just can't see, like, well, it's easier for you because you win, you know, so you beat the shit out of them. But if like it's like I would say if I'm getting beat up, I'm like, it's hard to be friends with the person that's beating me up, you know. But at the same time, it's kind of cool though, because you guys get to foster like the kind of community and bring the sport, you know, make it a little bit bigger. That's funny. So you had one instance, right, with Alicia Kenna. They were like, I'm friends, but when I beat you up, once you beat me up.
Yeah, that's exactly how it went.
But that's cool because, like, I feel like I have a sister, right, and my sister, her friends and them, they go out, like, shopping and stuff and do different things. I'm sure you do that too.
Oh, yeah,
but the cool part about you is, like, you have the other side of it too, besides the shopping, I'm sure you do, is, like, hey, let's go spar. So you guys like beat each other up, and then after, like, ah, let's go shopping. It's cool, right?
Hit the gym, get a little spar session.
How do you separate that? Like, I mean, obviously it's different. Like you're punching someone. You know what I mean? So how do you separate the emotions whenever you go in the ring from like, hey, we're friends, so we're not friends?
I mean, I feel like you always gotta have like good sportsmanship. Mm. So like, it's like no matter what, like even if you win or lose, like you still gotta show like love and everything.
Your dad was talking a little bit about before we got on camera as well about how sometimes like if you get rocked, you have 3 seconds, right, where you're still trying to regain your consciousness, regain, like, hey, where am I at? I got to focus on my next move. And sometimes you're here and your opponent could be over here, you know? So that 3 seconds may feel like a lot longer, like an hour, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Compared to 3 seconds. So, yeah, it's tough. So, obviously, we talked about you sparring with boys, talk about your championships, talk about everything. But one thing we haven't talked about yet that I was kind of, we were doing some research on, is you have a few brothers, right? How many brothers do you have?
I have four brothers.
Four brothers, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then growing up with four brothers in the household, you're the youngest right now?
Yeah. No, I'm the middle.
Middle
child,
okay.
Yeah.
How was it growing up like that? And did that play a part on you wanting to learn how to box?
I mean, yeah, because, like, the boys, like, they like to fight. So, like, we're always fighting at the house and stuff. And, yeah, the second oldest, he actually did boxing, too. Like, he was doing it with me, but, like, he was more into, like, track and cross country. So right now he's doing that for college. And my two younger brothers, they're also doing it right now, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, boxing?
Yeah, boxing. Yeah.
Do you ever get in the ring with them?
Yeah, home? I do. Yeah, yeah. I'll be sparring with them sometimes.
Do you ever let them win or no?
No, no.
I feel like you can. I feel like as an older sibling, it's your duty to not let the younger siblings win, whatever it is, you know?
I'd just be messing around with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
What does it mean for you, though, to be like the middle sister? You have younger brothers who are looking up at you, what you're doing, right? I mean, you're their idol, I'm sure, you know, especially in the boxing game. And what does that mean to you to be that role model to your family?
I mean, yeah, I feel like it's like a big role, but like, because they always say, like, oh, like, I want to go to nationals like you and this and that. Like, I want to win a belt. So it's like I like showing them like a lot like what to do. And like they come with me to like some of the close tournaments here, and like they know what to do though. Like yeah, they see it's like because of me.
It's cool. They get exposure where I feel like if you weren't doing it, chances are, like, getting exposed to nationals like that that many times, just being around that environment, like, they probably never would have seen stuff like that, you know? So
Yeah,
you guys have, like, you guys kind of built, like, a winning culture, like, at home. You know, you have dad's a coach and then you. And it's almost like, you know, the younger brothers, they don't really know anything else but winning. So, like, all they see is, like, good habits. You know, I'm sure you're, like, super disciplined and stuff like that. Well, I want to get into that right now, too. So it's pretty cool because they get to see not obviously the hardware and the winning, but they're also behind the scenes seeing of what it takes to be, like, a winner. Because it's not, like Ann said here at the beginning, you know, I mean, you've had really good seasons, you know, for the past, like, 7 years of boxing. And you're having a really good one right now, and it's going to get even better. But, and people see the championships, you know, the national championships. But what people don't see sometimes is probably what your little brothers get to see, which is, like, the preparation and the behind-the-scenes stuff. So how is that? Because obviously being a top-level athlete at a young age kind of comes at a cost, no? I'm sure there's some things that you kind of miss out on. Well, I mean, do you ever feel like you miss out on, like, part of, like, I don't want to say, like, being a kid, but do you ever, like, you miss out on, like, some social stuff because you have to train?
Going out with friends and stuff, and, like, like, for boxing, it's, like, about coming to the gym every day. So, like, a lot of people are like, oh, you have to go to the gym again, this and that. But, like, I mean, it's like, you have to do it, though.
You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you ever, do you feel like your friends are pretty understanding of that?
No, yeah, they are. Yeah,
that's cool. But what was there any one thing where you really wanted to go, but you couldn't because either you had a tournament weekend or you had to prep for a tournament? Is there one thing you can remember, like, damn, I wish I could have gone to that thing?
Probably a birthday.
Really?
Like, I had a birthday party that week, and I had a fight, a tournament, like, that same week, so I was really bummed out. Yeah.
But at least
I mean, that's sacrifice that you're making now, and obviously it's paying off. But even before that, though, because obviously they see the sacrifice now. I'm sure all the friends are like, hey, Alyssa's, like, they support you. They see all the belts and stuff. But how was it before you got the belts? Like, were they always supportive, or was there ever a time whenever you first started, maybe when you didn't have a national championship yet, where they were like, oh, like, why are you doing that, Alyssa? Like, and you kind of had to explain it?
I feel like they were always supportive.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, maybe, like, back then, like, they didn't really think much of it. But, like, now since I'm older and, like, I'm winning, like, a lot more, like, they see now.
They know how serious, like, it is now.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, I feel like that's really big, too, having, like, a good support system, you know, with your friends. Especially now, because, like he said, you know, I mean, you might have Drake says it a lot, right? You have the fake friends and you have the real fans, you know?
Yeah.
You got to drop the Drake line.
Yeah, I got to drop the Drake line. So that's really cool, man. So shout out to the friends. Shout out to Alyssa's friends.
So obviously you said gym every single day. So what does it look like? So what does your day-to-day look like? So you wake up, take us through what time you wake up, take us what time you train. How does that look
the
for
diet?
You?
Do you have a diet?
A diet? Well, right now, since I'm like a heavier weight, 119, that was 114. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm like, that's kind of like a big difference. And so right now, like, I don't really have to, like, have a diet because I'm, like, right there in the middle. I'm like 116, okay, 115 around there. So it's pretty good.
Yeah, a lot easier. To, like, not necessarily easier, but comfortable.
Yeah.
Okay. What time do you typically start training in the morning?
So, like, for a normal day on the weekdays, I start at 5:30.
A.m.?
Yeah. Or p.m. P.m.
Oh, summer. P.m. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Afternoon. Yeah.
You prefer training in the morning or the night?
I'm not a morning person. Really? I'm not a morning person. Yeah.
You said 5:30. I looked at Dan. I'm like, oh, that's pretty early.
Sunrise Club.
Yeah, I still have, like, school and everything, so I'll be going to school. Then I get home and, like, I rest a little bit, eat, then gym right after, like, at 5:30. 5:30 to 8.
You're just busy all day until it's time to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's a schedule of a 7-time national champion. You wake up, you go to school, train after, right? When most people are, like, playing video games, doing different stuff after, you're like, you're in the gym, you're training, hitting the mitts. Yeah. Man, what's your biggest motivation to do that? That's not, like, we talked about not being normal, and it's so cool because, like, to be a champion, probably have to be not so normal, right? Like, you have to be, you have to do things that are different from the norm. So, why do that instead of going this way? Like, why, what's that reason for you?
I feel like just to, like to prove everyone that, like I'm doing this for a reason and stuff. Mm. And, like for my goal for, like, the 2028 Olympics in L.A., actually. So I want to be ready for that, too.
How many years is that? How many years away? What year is it?
Four. We're 4 away.
So it's 4. 4 years away, there's one this year already. So it's going to be the next 4 years.
Because for the next ones, you'll be old enough to actually compete in the actual Olympics,
I'll be about 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. So already prepping.
All right, and quick break in between this great podcast. Interrupt real quick to shout out to our sponsor, Academy West Insurance, serving the Valley for 30-plus years, number one insurance company. Let them know why, Dan.
Like, you know, we got you with everything. Auto insurance, home insurance, renter's insurance, life insurance. And if you're a business owner, we also got you there with commercial and general liability policies. So anytime you need some help, We're going to put the link down below. Click the button below. Submit your quote, and we got you taken care of.
Back to the pod. All right, so we talked a little bit about you braiding your own hair. We talked about, you know, the girl's stigma about boxing, obviously, like being 9 years old, wanting to box. But what's the message you would give younger girls out there right now that are 9 or 10 years old? Maybe they saw you box or saw, like, mm-hmm. the Serrano sisters box. And it's not necessarily the most popular thing for a girl to choose to do boxing when you're young like that. So what's the message you would say to them on why they should pursue boxing as a girl?
I mean, since they're girls, like, it's, like, really, like, it's, like, different from boys. Like, oh, like, a boy. But, like, if it's a girl, it's, like, dang, you're a girl doing boxing. I feel like, it's really good, like, if they stick with it and, like, they don't want to be, like, everyone else. Like, oh, like, just, like, normal girls. Like, they can do something, like, different. Like, they can be their own different way.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
What's something you would tell them, too, on that same note, like you said, on if they're getting made fun of, right? Like, if they get made fun of for doing boxing as a girl, what's something you would tell them on, like, why you should keep going and how there's national titles at the mm-hmm. end of the road if you keep going on the same road?
I mean, I feel like, don't listen to them. Like just don't, like, just do, like, if you really want to do it, just stick to that. Because, like, if you put, like, the effort and, like, the day and time and everything to it, you'll get, like, where you want to be. So just don't give up.
There it is. There it is. It's motivating, too, right? Because I told you off camera a little bit, but I have sisters myself.
Yeah.
And I know that it's so cool because I know they're going to watch this, too. And I have a younger sister right now. She's 8 years old. And I know for her, she always likes to punch me, too. She's starting boxing. But for her to see this, you know, it's like, it's super cool because it inspires me, because it's also going to inspire my little sisters and all tons of girls around the world, right? To, like, you don't have to fit into a box that people say you have to fit in. You can pave your own path and really do whatever you want to do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's huge. And on the same topic of girls, are you ready for the moment where you have to face your idols? Like, where you have to step into the ring and maybe have to, you know, show them who the real, who the
Alyssa
new
versus
are.
The Serrano
oh
sisters. Pick one. What are you doing?
That'll be, like, insane. Cause, like, oh yeah, like how you said, like, oh, like, she was my idol at first, and I was like, next thing you know, you're going against her. But I mean, it's like, you gotta do what you gotta do. Like, I just, like, I stick to my game plan. Like, I know I'll be, like, taller than her probably, so I stick to.
It
like,
is. We're sizing her up.
Distance.
We got the.
I stick to the height, distance, and everything.
Yeah.
Not
height check,
in.
Distance check.
You already got. It sounds like you already got the game plan. Like, yeah. It's just a matter of time before that occurs. Yeah.
Serrano sisters, if you're watching this, she's coming for you. A couple years. You need to stay around. Come around. She's coming for you. I know one of them. She said she was going to retire this next. She was going to retire this past time, I think. Right. That's one of them. But.
Got the other one still.
The other one's still staying boxing. She's coming. Give her a few years. She's coming. She'll give you a good fight. I promise you.
Man, that's so cool. That's so exciting. Because like you said, you know, I think like whether you know it or not, you know, like your presence, it's inspiring to people in the Valley, but also to a lot of girls. Because I feel like I have a couple sisters too, and it's so true. Like there's always so many other things you can do besides like being a TikToker or want to be like a makeup freaking influencer or whatever that is, you know? And it's so cool because you show them that it is possible. You can still be a normal person, right? A normal girl, you know, hanging out, go shopping with friends and all these different things. But also, you know, boxing is it's like a cool thing you can do. That's really growing, you know, like you were talking about it right now. There's like more and more people, more and more girls, especially joining the sport. And it's so cool to see it grow, especially right here in our backyard. And I feel like you're a big part of the movement. You know, you're putting on, people see like, oh shit, 7 championships. You know, like it's serious, right? It's not just like, it's as serious as like the boy sport. It's not any less or different. It's literally the same, like the same caliber, the same rewards, the same medals, the same belts. And it's so cool. So it's really exciting. And then I know that a lot of people, by the time you get to the Olympics, you know, it's going to be even bigger when you're out there on that big stage representing Sanger, the Valley, and all these little areas out here, the little big areas out here. And people are going to realize like how really big it is. And like we always say to people that come on here, you know, like you're at the top of the game, but you're also inspiring like a ton of up and coming people to even start, like he was saying, or to keep going if they're like kind of doubting it, you know. So it's really cool whether you know it or not. Like that's an impact you're already having on a lot of people.
This one's cool too because you're so young. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
you have so much longer of a career. We've had people on the show where they're in the middle of their career, they're towards the end where they had a career, you know, and like you're at the very, very beginning. Arguably, like you're barely starting and you're having so much success already. And that's why I think it's so cool to freaking see. Like, it's cool. It's motivating to me.
It's exciting. We're gonna, whenever the pre-sale goes for the Olympic boxing matches, we'll have to be there. We'll be there with
cool.
Matt. We'll be out there. You know, on the topic of going to the next level and things like that, I know that recently you got one of your first sponsors, right? So talk about that experience and what that was like, because obviously you're working really hard. Do you ever think about sponsors, or that's something random that popped up and you're like, oh shoot, like, or is that something you were chasing? Yeah. How did that whole thing come about?
We were always chasing like sponsors.
Yeah.
But once like my Theo and my dad like started talking about it, and they let me know like, hey, like Academy West, I was like, yeah. I got really excited. I was like, oh my gosh, like my first big sponsor and everything. Yeah. I was really happy though.
That's so cool. What was that moment like? Did being a professional boxer and that being like a career for you, did that become like a little bit? Do you feel like you feel like it's like, oh shoot, okay, like I'm getting here now. My first big sponsor. How does that feel like as a career, like career wise?
I feel like it's very like not like stressful, but like it's like you gotta like put like effort, like, cause you don't want to let them down. I feel like, so it's like you gotta like push yourself more.
It's like added responsibility.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, I know. Even before we came here, too, one of the coolest parts about it is, yeah, shout out to Academy West Insurance, number one insurance company in the Central Valley. I got to hide it. It's kind of a, you know, selfless plug a little bit. But I know that the Academy West and you know, Matt and all these guys, they talked a lot about you and talked really highly about all the stuff you were doing even before we came here. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, we got a new sponsored athlete. Where she's doing this. She's doing that. And national champion and 7-time national champion. I'm like, man, she must be like a little older, right? We've been down and talking. She must be way older. And he's like, no, she's like, she's younger, bro. She's younger. And I was like,
she's in high school. We're
like, oh, yeah, shit. I was like, what high school? What the heck? So it's cool. Like, it's definitely like, I know you said out of responsibility, but it's more out of responsibility to us as well, as far as like, it's cool, you know, to see like the stuff you're doing, and it motivates us even outside of the, we're not in the ring, right? But in the outside world, in the business world, entrepreneur world, like it motivates us to see all the success you have, especially here in the Central Valley too.
That's really cool. Yeah, I know. It's been when we were talking about it. What should we talk about? And they just sent us like a big old list of like championships, medals, stuff like that.
I want to let you guys know at home, like her intro was a couple minutes, right? A couple seconds.
Yeah.
But like her intro could have been probably half of the show. Like we could have just went through all her accomplishments, all her medals. Obviously, belts. If you guys can see on the side, subtle flex a little bit, all the championship belts on the side. But one of the championship belts that's not on the table that I want to talk about is being the champion fighting for Sanger, right? The small city of Sanger here in the Central Valley. What does it mean to fight and represent Sanger, California?
I mean, it's really good, because I'm, like, I'm representing my town and everything. And I know they're very proud of me, too. Like I be getting messages like, oh, Alyssa, we're very proud of you, like showing off Sanger and this and that. And, like, it's really good, though. Yeah, I like it.
That's cool. You're like this... You're one of the superstars in Sanger, you know? People know you.
I'm having friends. I've seen you on the Sanger scene. And this and
that. There you go. Shout
out to the Sanger scene, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's sick. And it's so cool, too, because even just, like, coming to this gym, right, like, there's different types of gyms, different types of styles and stuff like that, and it's cool to see, like, this is your gym, right? Like, I feel like a lot of people, whenever they first start, they always want to have everything figured out, right? They want to have the biggest gym. They want to have the nicest weights, the nicest ring, the nicest gym, right? Like, biggest cities. But, like, what would you say to that? Like, for someone who thinks they have to have it all figured out to win, compared to you, where you're like, I'll fight anywhere. Like, you have people running laps out here in the alley, right? And like, they're wanting to win. They're hungry to get in the ring, hit the mitts. You know what I mean? And you inspired that. So what does that mean to you to win at any cost, really?
Yeah. So like right here, so like in this gym, like we started with nothing. Like you can see in the back, like it's not even a ring. It's like just rope and like floorings, like it's really nothing. Yeah, but like we started from the bottom, and like we just started like slowly making our way to the top.
Like you said, it didn't look like this when you first took it over, right?
It was really dusty and like spider webs. It was empty and just like boxes and trash everywhere.
So no ring, no bags, no cardio machines, nothing, right?
Nothing.
And I think from the story we heard, it was kind of like a movie scene where all the kids, the community comes in, and they all kind of get to work together. And then now it's a pretty good facility now. It's a pretty decent facility. It's up and coming. Did you take part of it? Did you help with all the cleaning and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah.
How long did it take you guys?
Well, so probably like most of the summer.
Really?
Yeah. Like we have to give like really thanks to like Carolina. That's what you say? Yeah. She's the one that like let us like use this, like her space and like her big... Like, this is a pretty big spot.
That's
so, like,
huge,
she let us use
spot.
It. And, like we just had to, like, fix it up and everything to make it, like, look, like, or make it feel like home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like now it does. It kind of has, like, the Rocky gym vibe, you know?
That was good. It is kind of like out of a movie, though, right? I mean,
yeah.
All it takes is someone to believe in you, right? Yeah. Someone to believe in you, give you a shot, like, she gave you a shot here to, mm-hmm. to do the gym. You guys took it, ran with it. It's like a badass gym. Like, I know for sure. If I ever train, I've never trained, but if I ever train, I want to train here. This is sick.
Yeah, I like it because it's really big and like you have a lot of like room. Yeah. We have like all this, the bag, and like we got a lot of bags and mm-hmm. everything.
So I feel like that gives you an advantage over another girl out there who's training in a perfect gym, has all the perfect stuff. They have the perfect ring. And whenever you walk in, you're like, you walk into a Nationals ring and you're like, hey, like this is another day, right?
I mean,
you feel like that gives you a little bit of an advantage a little bit?
Yeah, so I feel like it's like I don't need like a big fancy ring to like train and stuff. Like mm-hmm. I like I'm grateful for what I have right here, and like I don't think I really like need to ask for anything else.
Where does that come from?
Like what do you mean?
Like where does that mentality come from? Because most people they're the opposite, right? Where yeah. they feel like they have to have everything perfect to the best gear to make it happen. And if they're not, that's always their excuse. And that can be an excuse. Like, hey, I didn't win the tournament, I didn't win Nationals because I didn't have the best gym or I didn't have the best equipment, right? But you've won Nationals with whatever, you know?
Yeah, so I feel like my dad always tells me like you gotta be humble no matter what. So it's like it really plays like a big role. So I'm not like type like, oh, we need like this, oh, we need that, and like, you know, it's like it's just whatever we have here. Like we can make it work.
I feel like that's such a that's such a winner's mentality because you almost like it's almost like you're in the underdog a little bit, you know, where you were prepping and maybe some of the other girls around the states, around the world, you know, eventually when they get to the Junior Olympic level, you know, they might have like the top tier training facilities, they might have the top like the newest shoes, the best gloves, and all these different things, right? But you know, the people that make it happen, you can make it happen with anything, you know. So yeah. It's really cool, and I feel like that's kind of like a valley thing, you know. We're like kind of the underdogs, we make it happen. Like doesn't matter where we're from, we can run in the alley, cart in the alley, you know. Really like the Rocky movie, you know, like the Rocky where he's like prepping against the Russian guy, and the Russian guy has like the freaking dude, and then like tracking all his stuff when he's doing cardio, you know. And Rocky's out there punching meat, like it's so cool. He is just punching like the big old thing.
Did you ever watch Rocky growing up?
Yeah,
at all?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I feel like you had to, you know.
Yeah.
Did that
yeah.
play a part at all in you wanting to box?
I feel like I seen it at school. Yeah. Like when I was really young, so okay. it was really interesting. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good movie. Yeah.
I saw Rocky when I was growing up, and I was like, I wanted to box. I was motivated, and then I think my brother hit me in the mouth a little bit. And I'm like, nah, I don't want to box.
That's not for me.
That's not for me.
That's funny. So yeah, it really is just like, you know, having that mentality where you can make it happen with anything, it's huge, you know. It puts you like at an advantage from all these other girls and all the other people really that compete, that feel like they need to have like answer the perfect everything to like, oh, I didn't have this, can't win no more, you know.
Yeah, not everyone's perfect, so it's okay.
Yeah.
you ever see people on a lot of these boxers on TikTok at all, and like, you get inspired to make those TikToks, like boxing TikToks? You ever see like the girl TikToks where, like Danny was saying, it's like the get ready with me mm-hmm. and kind of want to do your own thing?
I know we talked like about it. That's something I like want to do. Yeah, like I really like post TikToks. I'll be like watching it, but like a lot of people were telling me like, oh, we should start like doing it. So like it's making me like, okay, yeah. like getting me ideas and stuff.
Because I feel like especially now in today's world, you know, it's like a big part of like an athlete too. You know, having like a good like a personal brand. Where sure, like you're badass, you perform in the ring, but also too, you know, kind of like the, well, he's Ryan Garcia's kind of walded out right now, but he's a good example of it, you know, before like this little stint of post, him, you know, or boy Mark Castro too, where, you know, having a big brand, it does make a big difference, you know, especially like, for some of them, it has landed them like way bigger fights, you know, just because they have those, you know. How do you feel about that? Do you think like, well, you should have been thinking a little about it more, but do you feel like it's important as an athlete to have that too?
Yeah, I feel like, how do you say it? Like, it, like, throws you out more. Mm-hmm. So, like, they start, like, seeing you, like, and this and that, like, and you start, like, spreading out more.
Yeah. Yeah. Are there any girls, like, that you know that do it already?
No, not really. Not that I know of, yeah.
I think we'd be the first one to strike.
Oh, it's up and coming. So, in a dream world, Alyssa, what's your dream fight? Dream person you would fight, dream arena you're fighting at, dream city. What does it look like for Alyssa?
I feel like in Vegas, definitely Vegas. Yeah, okay. Like it's really like bright and like everyone's up all night. Yeah. And like, yeah, I think it'll be really cool right there.
T-Mobile Arena.
Yes, that'll be so cool.
Yeah, I feel like you gotta go T-Mobile now. Yeah.
The Serrano sisters, maybe the Katie Taylor's coming up. Katie Taylor's, for sure. Okay, cool. And then a little bit of rapid fire here. What's the top three fights you've ever been in, and why? You would say.
So I feel like definitely the one I just came back from in Albuquerque. Then probably, let's see, Nationals, USA Nationals last year. And my first National for Silver Gloves. Like my first ever win. Yeah.
So take it back to the very first one all the way now. Okay. Yeah. Cool. What has been the biggest difference you would say from that very first one to now? Like, is it more of a mindset thing? Is it an experience? You just got to hit more. What do you think?
See, I was really young. Like, I was like, what, like 12, 11? Mm. So I was like weighing like, what, 90 pounds, 80 pounds. So I was really light. Yeah. I was really light. And like, even back then, there wasn't a lot of girls. So like, I'd have to like go travel LA and like out of like the Central Valley and stuff. But I mean, yeah, like they were just like those girls back then, like they were just throwing like boom, boom, boom. So it's like it's really different from now, though. Yeah.
Even now, too, though, right? Because I know in the last tournament you had or a couple of tournaments ago, there was a scenario where you were 16 or 17 and you were facing like 18-year-old girls, 19-year-old girls just because of the weight difference and stuff like that, too. Mm-hmm. Did you feel the difference there, or was it like in your head you were just like, I have to get it done? So whoever's across from me, they can be 18, 20. I'm going to get it done. How did that work for you?
Yeah, I definitely felt like the difference. Like there was like a difference in power. And like, let's say 119, like her regular weight was probably like 120 something. So she had to lose like that weight to go to 119. So I definitely felt like the power. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I had the speed though, since I'm lighter. And like, I feel like I had like the speed advantage too. But like the power difference is like, it's different. Yeah.
I can only imagine for sure. Because I know when I was 16 compared to like an 18-year-old or 17 compared to an 18, 19-year-old,
yeah,
there was a huge difference for sure. Yeah. So, for sure.
back to the rapid fire questions. What are your top three Drake songs right now?
Oh my gosh, my top three
Drake songs, yeah.
Oh my God, okay. I like the one Needle with him and Nicki Minaj.
Okay.
That
okay.
One. I don't know. A lot of them, like, they're good. Like,
well, you got two more. You got okay.
two more.
Passion Fruit is pretty good.
Passion, okay.
Yeah, that was a banger, that one. And
what's your number one right now?
Here's a big question. This is probably the biggest question we've asked you. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
Wait, this is hard. Oh, my gosh. I don't know.
Like, maybe, like, a new, you like the new Drake? You like the...
No, his old songs are old way better.
Like,
old
Views Drake?
Oldies, yeah.
We got producer Freddie behind the camera. He's nodding approval.
He approves. Yeah, he's a big Drake guy.
I don't know. Probably, I like, what's it called? Like, Best I Ever Had.
Oh, that's one of his original ones, yeah.
That's top five for sure.
Yeah,
that's what we have
to say. That's top five.
Yeah.
Freddie's here. I like it. Awesome. And so, honestly, we appreciate you being on today, and we couldn't thank you enough. Obviously, we know you're super busy. You got between winning national titles and going to school, you made some time to fit us in a little bit as well. So we appreciate it. Appreciate everyone here at the gym welcoming us here. But before we end, we always have a signature question here at the Always Just Podcast, and we wanted to ask you. It's kind of like a situational base, right? So I want you to put Alyssa back in, maybe when you first quit boxing, right? When you're like, hey, you know, may not be for me. What's some advice you would give Alyssa then? Now, Alyssa, right, that everything's going to be okay. Like, hey, don't quit. Like, just stay on the same path. There's national titles. There's all this success. There's sponsorships. All this success that's coming later down the road. All you got to do is not quit. What's some advice you would give that Alyssa back then?
Like, if I knew, like, when I was younger, like, at that age, I would have, like, probably never quit. But, like, yeah, like, I would have told her, like, no, like, there's so much things you can do with this. And, like, just, like, don't quit. Like, I know it's going to be hard, but, like, you just got to push through it.
Love that, because there's a lot. I mean, I'm sure a lot of early mornings, a lot of late nights, a lot of sacrifices. Yeah. We talked about the birthday party you missed, but I'm sure there's a whole list of other events that you've missed or friends outings you missed, right?
Yeah.
But it's all been for a purpose, and I know you're putting on for yourself, putting on for your family. You've also been putting on for everyone in this gym, and most importantly, you're putting on for yourself, right? You're proving yourself right. Mm-hmm. So, I'm inspired today. I'm leaving this podcast inspired. I know everyone at home is probably definitely really inspired. And before we end off, any last things, Dan?
Shout out to our sponsors, baby. Academy OS Insurance, the best in the valley.
Yep.
Any last, where can they find you, by the way? If they want to follow your story, follow the mission, where can they find you?
Yeah, they can follow me on Instagram. It's therealdot_Alyssa.
Okay.
We're gonna put it right there.
Okay.
There we go. So make sure to keep up with their journey. In a couple years, you're going to see her at the Olympics, not even more. And appreciate you guys tuning in. Make sure to like, subscribe. We'll see you on the next episode. Peace.
Peace.